meeting session is being recorded. So minutes and actions on minutes have been circulated on Friday. Perhaps you might want some a couple of more days to review them. So please do it by the end of this week. Most of the action items have been completed. You are still ongoing, so we're working on them. Between the meetings, we adopted our statement on the draft operating standards. Statement was submitted on 2nd February, together with more detailed comments from the Guidelines Review Committee. We also sent to the NOMCOM the document, which gave some more details, highlighted some requirements that we believe should be met when the NOMCOM appoints councillors to the CCNSL Council. We also appointed additional member to the BDP Retirement Working Group, and we appointed additional members to SOPT. Next one, so as you know, we have this update on the progress on the Work Track 5 subsequent procedures. Annabeth has provided the written updates that will be added to all the materials and distributed to you. Maybe somebody else would like to comment on this one and share your views on the direction of travel. We're planning to discuss this with the GAC, and currently we'll need to discuss it with the GNSO. I don't know how we're planning to move forward. Again, let me remind you that we had we sent our request, our expectations from this the work on the Work Track 5. We also expect the GAC and ALAC also sent their letters. And we received a response. So if you all had time to read a response from the GNSO. In preparation for our meeting in San Juan. So any comments on that? If somebody would like to...
Katrina, it's Nigel.
Comments? Yes, Nigel, please.
Just a matter of order, really. I'm in on the bridge, but don't have access to Adobe today. Just for reference.
Yeah, okay, thank you. I think Suleiman also is on audio only, and Barak is also on audio only. Okay, so any comments on Work Track 5? Company territory names. We heard a lot of our people work hard on that group. It's difficult to keep up with the pace of PDP of GNSO, but they're doing their best. So no comments, no questions on that. Okay, let's move forward then. Business or travel funding. First of all, as you remember, we agreed that that we are going to moving forward with the updated guideline, this Monday GRC discussed this guideline and decided that it's ready to be sent to the council. A week later, that will be sent to our members for public consultations. What is also, I hope to send this guideline to you this week. The sooner the better. I think I haven't sent it. Definitely send rejection action, but this one is prepared being sent, but I haven't sent it yet, if I remember it correctly. So another issue with respect to travel funding is that, as you remember, for our request last year when we submitted our comments to the budget, item budget, the CTSO was assigned 17 slots for financial year 18. And it was there was a note that additional slots should be discussed according to the general community, part of general community consultation. So according to the draft budget, we have same 17 slots. We do not see any increase. It's the same number as we had last year. And so that's one of the things that we need to discuss today. So is the number of slots adequate, especially taking into account that it looks that part of general budget cuts, those funds that were used the past few years to fund the Tech Day participants, with the chair of the Tech Day, Eberhard, looks that those slots might go away, let's say. And so, again, we will have to fund the Tech Day participants also as part of our travel funding. And here we asked our travel funding committee for some feedback, because they are the ones who see incoming requests, so they see applications, they evaluate candidates. And so we wanted to know if they think, what they think about our current number of slots. Is it adequate? Is it enough? Or maybe they just really have to do a hard job trying to prioritize who to fund. And a response from two members of the draft funding committee, and both support increase. So they see that there is a need for we need more slots, basically. That was their conclusion. So are there any questions, any comments, any immediate thoughts? So should we submit our... Yes, Stephen, please.
Good morning, Katrina and everyone. I'm just trying to get clarification on the Tech Day issue. It's my understanding that up until now, Tech Day, at least Eberhard's expenses, have been funded by a different ICANN budget category. And I cannot remember off the top of my head, given the hour, what that category was. Are you saying that we now are going to have to pick up responsibility for Tech Day with regards to travel funding slots?
It's Nigel.
Well, it's... Yeah, Nigel, please.
Yeah, I'm on the... Well, Stephen is on the... Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Hello?
Hear you. Loud and
clear. Yep. Okay. Yeah. As Stephen, I'm on the Tech Day committee, and it's while it's the case that Eberhard and the travel expenses were covered by the CCNSO in the beginning when it was the CCNSO travel day. My strong understanding is that this comes from Patrick Jones, and is it called Global Engagement, Stephen, or something like that?
Yeah, it is Patrick Jones, now that you mentioned the name, and I don't know what it's called. My question is this changing? Are we going to have to pick up, reassume responsibility for Tech Day expenses?
Thank you.
Mark, please.
To date, says I believe this is going back. I think since 3 or 4 years, global stakeholder engagement has picked up the travel funding for Eberhard, as because it's recognized as one of the major outreach efforts. It looks like, and that's why I've raised it, that GSE will reduce some of their funded, or the number of funded travelers, and that includes the chair of SECDAE. This is one of the reasons why it's raised. Another one is that's upcoming is with respect to the GSE, as you could read in the notes. So, whether, say, the travel funding will, the travel funding committee will be able to fund all and everybody, that's another question. But this is where we're at right now.
Yeah, it's Nigel again.
Thank you.
Nigel, go on.
Yeah, thank you, Katrina. I just want to make a point here in relation to the ICANN budgets going forward as they apply to the CCNSO. You know, we had a lot of discussion about 6, 9 months ago, I can't remember the exact time, about the difference between the way the CCNSO Council and the CCNSO operates in respect of funded travellers and the other SOs and ACs. And I don't need to rehearse the discussion that we had in Council at the time, just to summarize that we are very much and have been for a long time the poor relation for whatever historical reasons. That's neither here nor there. What I'm noticing, particularly in relation to matters of election, is that I think that this is having an effect on the work of the Council and of the CCNSO. And I think that the principle that I tried to put forward just under a year ago has become even more important in the highlight of this new budget information. We need to be able to say to somebody who is considering, and we've got an upcoming election, considering running for the CCNSO Council, that they'll get the support they need and they don't have to be working for some rich registry, because, put it bluntly, the rich registries are disengaging because they can't afford the time commitment anymore. So we're having a perfect storm. We're losing people of the likes of the early days who put a lot of effort into the CCNSO because it was in their employees' interests. And we're losing the people at the small end because they can't self-fund 2 out of 3 meetings. I think it's a concern. I don't know where we can go with this, but I think the principle has to be put forward yet again that Council should be able to fund all of its members to attend ICANN meetings, just like the ALAC, just like the GAC, just like all of the other SOs and ACs. And how we rationalize this at the time when we thought we got somewhere and now we're going backwards again, I'm at a bit of a loss.
Yeah, thank you. We're not going any backwards. I don't know why you came to that conclusion.
Well, I just hear we're going to be having to pick up more and more of the tab, that's all.
Yeah, well, that's we still get the same that we were allocated a year, but they did not increase as we requested. Byron, please.
Hi, thanks. And maybe I'm just echoing what you, I think, just said, Katrina. I mean, we still have travel funding for the entire council. So if we decide to allocate all of our travel funding to councillors, then everybody is covered. I think it's more around, are there other slots that we think are important and want to cover? And previously, we'd had the benefit that GSC had covered the chair of Tech Day, which they're now pulling back from, I guess, because they think it's sufficiently successful. But we're still covered as councillors, those who request the funding at least. So I think we're okay there. It's more around who else do we think is important, and is there anything we can do on that front? And certainly not every counselor requests travel funding. So there are certainly some spots available as a result of counselors who don't request the travel funding. But we certainly have to be intentional and efficient about the few remaining travel slots that we have to allocate around other groups. Thanks.
Yes, thank you very much, Byron. Taking account that we have 18 counselors and only 17 travel slots,
don't the NOMCOM ones, and maybe this is my mistake, don't they get covered by a separate budget and not the CCNSO travel slots?
No, it's CCNSO.
Not to my...
CCNSO includes the... we have 17 slots minus 3 that go automatically go to NOMCOM, and then minus 5 that we have one guaranteed slot per region, and then with the remaining we doing whatever we can, including we, as we decided we can fund travel counselors if they need and some other community members. So technically speaking, we do not have enough slots covered inside council. But as you mentioned, thanks to those counselors who do not request the funding, yes, we are able to cover our needs more or less. But again, according to our travel funding committee, they see increasing the number of good applications, and they would like to see more travel funds. That speaking about in response to Nigel's comments on the fact that whoever applies to the council has to be sure that their needs will be covered. I personally see a risk there as well, because it shouldn't be position on the council should not be considered as one that automatically provides funding. It really has to be people should volunteer to do the job, not for travel funding, but perhaps for other reasons. But yes, I understand. I agree that. Being one of the smaller registries myself, I agree that it really matters a lot that this funding is
Katrina.
Available. Yes, Nigel, please.
Okay, just to follow up briefly, partly on Byron and partly on what you said. Byron, the difficulty in omitting the NOMCOM seats is the maths. For historical reasons, which I can't quite see in the ICANN bylaws, the NOMCOM travel expenses take up a disproportionate number because the ordinary council members are funded only 1 in 3 meetings automatically, and the NOMCOM appointed members are funded every 3 out of 3. So there are 2 slots in every meeting that are always taken that would not otherwise be taken, if you see what I mean. So the maths adds up to the fact that if you are applying to become as a small CCTLD manager or employee of a CCTLD manager who can't afford the time issues and other matter, then the fact that you are not going to receive your travel expenses the way you would do if you were a GNSO council member, the way you would do if you're an ALAC council member or whatever they're called, or if you're one of the 42, I think it's 42, I'm not sure if I'm right there, people who are funded from the GAC, that will discourage definitely participation in elections. So I have to take slight disagreement with Katrina's point here. Travel funding is not a bean feast. It is not a thing that people apply to be on the council for. It is a professional reimbursement of out-of-pocket expenses necessarily encouraged by a volunteer. and I think it's unprofessional that ICANN, with its multi-millions, does not properly provide the travel support for a small minority of the councillors and its volunteers when it's throwing money at other SOAC's council members. That's a view.
Yes, thank you.
And by the way, I must declare that I do not have an interest in this because I'm not going to be in recipient of CCNSO part of the travel funding in after Barcelona. So I'm not speaking out of a personal view here.
Yes, we've got that. Thank you very much. That's a good summary. At the same time, I must share my previous experience. Yeah, we've seen councillors who use travel funding. They come to meeting and never show up at the council meeting. So my comment was made based on some past previously experienced occasions, let's say so. Okay, thank you. So at least what I hear from Nigel, definitely from Nigel, partly from Stephen, probably we should raise our, submit our comments again, revise the document and ask for next increase. Have I understood you correctly?
That's not incompatible with what I was saying.
Byron, please.
Thanks, Katrina. So on the one hand, I don't disagree with what Nigel has said, and thanks for the clarification and the nuance of the math around the NOMCOM. I think that's an important point to highlight. However, I think and hopefully this expression translates for everybody, but the elephant in the room on this is that we don't even make by half our voluntary financial commitment, which looks very poorly on us as a community. And while we can say these are totally separate things, and they are, the relatively small amount of money that we have indicated to ICANN that we would commit to the budget, we are not even making by half. And that does not reflect well on this community. So when we in turn then ask for a very significant uptick in direct expenses associated with the community, I'm sure it doesn't get a lot of traction. And when things have to be cut or finessed at the budget level, you know, that's one of the things that is going to get raised, I'm sure. And you're probably going to see it, Nigel, and when you take your new position in this community. And when puts and takes and trade-offs have to be made, that's a factor that's going to come up. And I think it's incumbent upon this community to actually own up to the voluntary financial contributions that we committed to. And I think we'd have a lot better argument to be made on this front if we at least did that. So I'm sort of unpacking a bigger issue, but I think we have to be aware of the fact that if we don't even live up to what we said we were going to do, it gets hard to then go out and make significant increased demands on expenses for this community, directly attributed to this community. Because you remember there were direct expenses, shared expenses, and global ones, and this is very much a direct expense. So hopefully when we have the finance update, we will be able to reflect on this, and we would carry, I'm sure, our arguments would carry a little more if we at least live up to the voluntary contributions that we've committed to. Thanks.
Byron, I'm sorry to come back straight on you and we very quickly. May I?
Yes, please.
Thank you. Thank you. I want to make another subtle nuance for you. I'm not talking about the community here. I'm talking about the council. And the council is part of the ICANN organization and structure, although I believe they're using the word organization to mean corporation these days. And if we cannot get the funding for whatever reason, because we're not providing enough, even though you say it should be separate, if we cannot get the funding to fund the council, then let's cut the council by a third, and then maybe I can afford, then we have two councillors per region instead of three. Cut your cloth according to the what's available. Thanks.
Interesting thought, Nigel.
Thank you.
Katrina, can I just ask, just for clarification?
Yes, sure.
Do we have any councillors who seek funding who are denied? I mean, if we have the 16 slots and the 17 councillors, are there any who are actually, actually not getting funding when they've requested it? Or is this a theoretical problem? Is this a theoretical problem, or is this an actual problem?
Well, I can say from my experience, before we got increased in travel slots, Leslie, when she needed, when she was nominated anymore and she needed funding, yet she could not get it. That's one example I know from my personal experience. Maybe somebody else could give some more elaborate response. Yeah, at the same time, I must add that she was, didn't get funding because at that time we had this rule that a councillor per region is funded and councillor cannot apply for a second year, second or third one. We can ask travel funding committee to check this and let's move this discussion online or mailing list. We still have a lot of issues to discuss. Okay,
sure.
Thank you.
Thank you, Katrina.
Yep.
I know I have never asked for it. I'm quite sure New Zealand has never asked for it. So there's two of the 17, therefore only 15 slots left, and we have 16 paid. So that's what I'm just trying to unpack, whether this is a theoretical or a real problem we're experiencing today. But I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, and thank you very much for not using a slot. It helps to fund other, not only councillors, but other community members. So really appreciate it. Thank you very much for that. And one thing is that, you're absolutely right when your comment. It's really bad that we do not meet our commitment, and even worse that so many CCTOD committees, they get nothing from ICANN, and hence they will not contribute to their work, which I personally think is not entirely true. Byron, please lower your hand, and let's move forward. We have another interesting issue. It's GDPR, as you know, it's General Data Protection Regulation and implication on secretariat activities. So be honest, I should have thought about that, but I really did not. So apparently GDPR does not affect only schools. It affects many different aspects of operation of any company, any organization. And ICANN is not an exception here. For example, as you know, secretariat issues calls for volunteers, nominations, and so on. We ask a load of different personal data. They have to be compliant, GDPR compliant. So most likely the GDPR will affect calls for volunteers, nomination process, and many other specific things that CCNSO secretariat, Akina, addresses sometimes other information, pictures, we make presentations with pictures, for example. So to be ready, the Secretariat will seek, from now on, to be compliant, the Secretariat will seek active consent for processing of personal data. For example, the high-level process would be that first Secretariat sends out a generic call for volunteers. Volunteers respond to Secretariat. And when, in our case, Kim is informed, she will send out a notice to a particular volunteer who seeks to seek his or her consent. And if consent is not received, the person will not be subscribed to email list, and it will seriously impact a person's ability to participate in work after working group, for example. Because if you do not get information, you cannot participate. If the person withdraws or unsubscribes from mailing, withdraws consent, then we need also to delete a person's name from website, and maybe other documents as well. So this is really very difficult thing. But yeah, Secretariat is getting ready for the GDPR. Any questions? Any comments on that? Yeah, well, on a personal note, I'd like to add that we also have this TLD Ops, where we collect loads of personal data. I hope that we will be able to do that, because your participation in participation of European CCTLD is also very important. We need those. If you not need to know email addresses, even though some of them, especially when they are used to provide their personal email addresses, they are considered personal data. So I hope that Europeans realize that. And there will be very nice and understanding and responsive, provide their consent for processing of that data. So no questions, no comments on that. Okay, we can move forward. Next one. I'm not sure we'll be able to take a decision here, because apparently we're still not quorate. I'll ask for some latest updates. Are we quorate? Maybe somebody showed up. No? No, we're still not quorate, so this is apparently for your information only. So, as you know, the board requested us to look into the use of emoji as second-level domain names. And in Frankfurt, we're going to have two sessions, one for Tech Day, the technical point of view, another during our CCNSO members meeting day, where we will, this information will be provided more like for managers and project managers, just to understand what it's all about. And you see a draw of decision here. We cannot vote. So apparently we'll have to take this and all upcoming decisions online. We have to do it on the mailing list. Any comments or questions to this one? No questions. Move to the next one. Next is update on current status of the SSR2 review. As you saw, I forwarded it to you. SOAC chairs sent a letter to the team, thanking them for being so patient and highlighting some of the things that we're working on. A few more letters are in active drafting stage, very close to being finalized. It's a letter to MSSI team. It's a letter to the OEC committee of the board. At least these two, yes. All groups are actively looking at possible candidates to be added to the process. And we also started discussing what to do with, how to proceed with one of the reviews that still was dormant, actually, ATRT3. I know from my sent folder, I see that I've sent two. One was forwarded to email to you. One was this email sent to SSR2 team. Another one was forwarded to you a letter with respect to SSR2 from the GNSO Council. But I don't see the second letter in my council folder. Maybe I deleted it, or maybe I sent it, but it never got delivered. Can anyone confirm that you have received the second email as well? GNSO Council issued the letter to other SOACs on sharing their views on how to proceed with the SSR2. Nobody confirms. Okay, I will resubmit it, apparently, and maybe somehow it just wasn't delivered to the list, but it definitely left my mailbox. To summarize it, they believe that there's a need for some external facilitator who could help the first new members to the team to get on board more easily and try the updated team to find the right way how to move forward. And that would include also to think more actively and more carefully about their leadership and other things. And in the letter to the board committee, as well as the chairs also will ask for their support for this external facilitator. Clearly, there is a need to do that. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, okay. I see Alejandra not in the chat. Yeah, that's the first one. But I sent after that one. I sent another one, and apparently it was not delivered. I will resend the GNSO letter. Okay. Oh, I kind of hoped that I just accidentally deleted it from my council folder, but apparently I did not. Have confirmation that then, yes, it was not received. Okay, I will resend it. Any questions about SSR2? Yeah, we're still looking. Still haven't summarized what those volunteers who were looking for our endorsement, but at the same time we have exhausted our three guaranteed slots on the review team, so maybe now others could also unless we decide to extend the number of review team members, probably we do not have many chances to get our people on board, but still, if we have some very good ones, we should try to propose them. Okay, no questions about SSR2. Let's move next one. Decision. We are not correct. We cannot make any decisions. But this guideline, it has been waiting for adoption by the council. Now it's, some time now. It was put on hold because we started these discussions with NOMCOM, and there's one placeholder where we wanted to discuss the policy, how to, in case something really bad happens, we need to remove a counselor appointed by NOMCOM. But this is still in the process, so maybe since we're facing some council elections pretty soon, perhaps. There's no need to wait. We can adopt the guideline as it is now and as it was posted to the members list for a comment. But again, we have to take it off online. About special elections. So as you remember, we started discussing it last time. Nigel indicated he will step down. And his regular term was supposed to end in March 2020. He indicated he's stepping down after Panama meeting, which means that, basically we have some time. Nevertheless, we have three possible scenarios. But before we start discussing these scenarios, probably act under assumption that first we need to have a Q&A session at one of the face-to-face meetings. And we have three, basically. One is now upcoming meeting in San Juan. Then there is a meeting in Panama, but that's B meeting, which means it's supposed to be smaller, so fewer people will participate. And the third one, a meeting in Barcelona, actually that's in the region. But it also would be, that meeting would also be used for a Q&A session with those candidates to regular elections. It turns out that we cannot make it to the San Juan meeting. We'll not have enough time to go through the whole process, which means that it leaves Panama meeting and Barcelona meeting, which again means that if we have happened during Panama meeting, then the voting, if there is a voting, will have to take place in July, which again means that this is a high vacation season, high holiday season in Europe, and but if we go to Barcelona meeting, then the time slot between a Panama meeting, when Nigel intends to step down, and Barcelona meeting, we will be for some time will be two councillors short, but most of the time one councillor short, because as experience tells us, NOMCOM appoints their councillors in August, and then they go appoint two, which means that we'll have full slate of NOMCOM appointed councillors in August. Which means about 1 month of there'll be two councillors short, but I think in July we do not have cabinet plans any meeting. Okay, that's a short summary. Maybe I'll ask Jokke to give some more detailed comments on as she worked on that, more detailed comments on a possible timeline. Jokke, please.
Thank you, Katrina. Kim, could you please bring up the document with the three scenarios? So while we are waiting for this document to come up, as Katrina indeed mentioned, we are starting from the assumption that there is indeed a Q&A at one of the public ICANN meetings. So if we go for a Q&A in San Juan, as Katrina mentioned, the time is really too short because we would have not enough time to have a proper nomination period, which is, according to the guideline, 3 weeks. If, as you will see from the document that that we prepared with the three scenarios, in this first scenario, the nomination period would only be for 2 weeks. And also the time to accept nominations after the call for nominations and after the deadline to nominate candidates would be very short as well, would need to happen within the same week as when the Q&A is happening in San Juan. So in the second scenario, when we have a Q&A in Barcelona, there is indeed a risk that the election results are negatively influenced by the fact that there's holiday season in Europe, and the position that becomes vacant is indeed council position within the European region. So the timeline has been prepared in order to accommodate for a Q&A in Panama. Apologies. And then we have the third scenario where we have a Q&A in Barcelona at ICANN 63, which could run in conjunction with the regular elections. Thank you.
Thank you very much. There are pros and cons to each scenario. Personally, I think that the third scenario when we run them the same time, or a special election and a regular election is the best one from administrative point of view. It would not confuse people. They would understand that they need to select two candidates some other. But of course, yeah, it means that there will be one councillor vote for 1 or 3 months. Okay. So any thoughts, any preferences? Well, we still have time because, well, since we definitely cannot go forward with scenario one, if we operate under the assumption that we want to have Q&A, decent Q&A during state meeting, and we cannot have it in San Juan, so we have to go to either Panama or Barcelona meeting. So we still have time. We don't have to decide today, but it would be good to have a discussion and think what to do. Yeah, so any comments, any thoughts? Sounds like somebody just got an idea. Okay, again, something we still have time to think about. You can check again the timelines as they were proposed, and we can discuss them for some other council calls, or maybe even during face-to-face meetings. Okay, then next one. We have updated our membership application form. The most important change is that we change this sponsoring organization to CPPLD manager, which is a very good something that we need to celebrate. And there are some other good tweaks to the application form. And some references to the ICANN bylaws were also corrected. Cannot decide, but I hope you all had a look. If you think there's something else that must be added or changed, please let us know quickly. If not, then we will vote on the decision in our mailing list. Okay, agenda item number 12. at PDP retirement. Who will update us on that? The outgoing chair or incoming chair? Nigel, can you do that?
Can you hear me okay?
Loud and clear.
Hello? Good. I don't know. I think perhaps we should toss a coin. I'm pleased to report that Stephen's been participating in the preparation for the various meetings. Eberhard is assisting us greatly by writing and reformatting all our working documents. And I'm actually very pleased that I'm going to be leaving it in very good hands. I don't know if Stephen, if you've got anything to add to my sort of general encouragement.
Yeah, Eberhard is doing yeoman duty, pushing the paper. We're making some pretty solid progress. We have a prep call scheduled for next week that we'll probably push off because both Bart and I will be in Kathmandu. And in fact, we actually pushed the next meeting back a week because of that precise reason, because it would occur during day two of APTLD. I think we're well positioned with one more meeting, teleconference before San Juan to make some solid progress in the face-to-face meeting. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Okay, if not, let's move forward. CSC update, Byron.
Thanks, Katrina. We have our next CSC meeting this afternoon, or at least this afternoon my time. So we just received the most recent report from PTI, which is a clean report, which seemingly now is the trend. So we're pleased about that. So from a day-to-day operational point of view, no issues. CSC is sort of zeroing in on the remedial action procedure process. We have a draft of the process, which over, I'm going to say, the Christmas period, went to ICANN Legal just for their review and thoughts on it. Came back a little bit more marked up than we'd expected, given ICANN staff had been part of the process along the way, or should I say PTI staff had been part of the process along the way. So at this stage, we're still in the back and forth in terms of nailing down the remedial action procedure. Nothing that I would want to really flag for concern there. So just, you know, we're grinding through the final steps of that. But from a day-to-day operations point of view, another clean report. So overall, all good right now. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thanks a lot. Any questions? If no, we're moving to the next one. ARZERC, they have agreed on all these relevant procedural documents. And now they are ready to dormant as they were supposed to be. But at the same time, there are some concerns that some people do not see this as a valuable addition to the general ICANN structure. And well, as you know, this is the only new structure that is not clearly described in the bylaws, so therefore some believe that this can be ignored. Well, we'll see to that, and probably we'll need to decide what to do and how to move if we believe that this is a good and necessary committee. Next one is update from Empowered Community Administration. Stephen, could you give the update and perhaps also about some rejection action?
I assume you all got and perhaps looked at my analysis of the public comments received with regards to the PTI budget as adopted by ICANN, we are in the midst of the rejection action petition period for that budget. That rejection action petition period expires on Thursday, March 1st, to close the business in Los Angeles. Based on my analysis of the comments received, I do not believe there is a basis for a rejection action petition coming out of NESOAC, so I don't anticipate any action from the community with regards to the PTI budget as proposed. GRC has, I don't think we'll be as lucky with the overall ICANN budget, but we'll see. There seems to be some controversy regarding the fact that headcount is increasing even in the face of overall monetary expenditures decreasing. GRC has pushed out to council, or will be pushing out to council shortly. I believe it's now version 6 internally of the rejection action guideline to handle the very situation that we're in the midst of with regards to the PTI budget. I leave it to Katrina to distribute that. I don't know what the timeline there is, but that's going out for council members' review and comments, et cetera, et cetera. And as the principal author of that, I'm more than happy to accept questions from council members regarding any issues or confusion or concerns you might have with regards to the guideline as it is written. And I think that's about it for me, Katrina. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions? No. Next one, a CSC charter review. Unfortunately, Abdallah is not here today. Bart, could you please update us?
Yes, Katrina, thank you. The CSC review team has been working pretty hard the last 2 or 3 weeks. This evening, they will join the CSC for a initial discussion on their initial draft, which they hope to publish by the end of next week in time for the ICANN meeting. They will propose, or most likely propose, some amendments to the CSC charter, also based on the comments received from the CSC. And because of this, the CCNSO and GNSO councils will need at one point adopt the new charter to make it effective. There is one area of concern, I think, and that's the CSC review team has noticed, and that is in the near future, so in half a year, around the 1st of October, there will be two concurrent reviews. One is the CSC effectiveness review, and the other one is the first IANA functions review. And especially the effectiveness review, again, requires the involvement of the CCNSO, in particular CCNSO Council, and volunteers from the CCTLD community. So, and in the IANA functions review, there is a very defined scope, which in the bylaws, but also there is a bit of overlap with the, or potential overlap with the CSC effectiveness review. So this might be a topic for you to discuss with the GNSO in San Juan during your meeting to start thinking about how to structure these two reviews and how to avoid overlap and need to, use to find volunteers from the same pool of volunteers for both reviews. That's it. Thank you, Katrina.
Yeah, thank you very much, Bart. Any questions? Yes, Stephen, please.
It's not on the CSE charter review. There was one item in 13.3, which I forgot to mention, if I could go back there real quickly. And that is that the SOP working group is collecting, Giovanni's collecting, we broke it up into subgroups, looking at the ICANN budget in detail, strategic plan and budget in detail. And the various subgroups of the committee are reporting back their concerns and questions to Giovanni, who's in the process of compiling a unified document on the entire operating plan and budget, and that should be circulating shortly. My guess is in the next week to 10 days. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Not exactly an ECA update, but thank you for this information. So let's move to next agenda item. It's item 61 on Sunday. Just for your information, please mark in your calendar. We have a very important meeting, two important meetings on Sunday, prep meeting with lunch, and council workshop. And there we have to discuss our priorities, how we're going to prioritize things, and also need to think about our roles and responsibilities. This is something that you need to think about, because apart from our traditional roles and responsibilities that we have, a chair, vice chairs, committee members, a travel funding committee, triage committee. We also have this person responsible for the new membership review and so on. But we also have a new roles according to our guidelines. We'll need to appoint also, as we agreed in autumn, we appoint our representative to the EC administration. We'll need to appoint the new guidelines in our rejection and action and approval action. We need these, all these action managers and some other roles that we need to perform according to to meet all the expectations and be sure that we are up to speed with all the processes. Yeah, and here we have also the general icon 61 meeting agenda. I'll give the floor to Alejandra to tell us more about all this. Alejandra, please.
Thank you very much, Katrina. This is a summary of the block schedule, and it's color-coded to help us find our meetings. In light blue, you can see all the working group sessions that will take place, and it's already with their room numbers, so you can find them easier. In purple, we find all the council sessions. As Katrina just said, we have the prep meeting and the workshop on Sunday. And unfortunately, we are not having a joint session with the ALEC, but they will be joining us in the members' meeting on the natural disasters session. On Monday, we find also some ICANN sessions, as the opening ceremony and the public forum, part one. It's also updated with the names of the cross-community topics that will be discussed, that are parallel to tech dates. There we have another council meeting with GNSO, and it starts at 12:15. Please take note of that. On Tuesday, we have our members' meeting and meeting with the ICANN board and meeting with the GAC. On Wednesday, we have our members' meeting, and there is a parallel cross-community topic in Ballroom A, and we end that day with our face-to-face council meeting. And on Thursday, there's the PDP Retirement Working Group and the public forum and the public board meeting. Can we please go to the agenda document, please, Kim? Thank you. It is scrollable, so you can move it as you please. Here, the agenda has not changed much since Joke's last update. Still, it's worth to run through it very quickly. We start our meeting day on Tuesday with the introduction. We go through working group updates. After coffee break, we have the session on the CCNSO as a decision of participants. And the joint meeting with the ICANN board will be in our room, and you can find there the topics that are pending to be approved by the council at this call. Then after lunch, we have the CCNSO meeting strategy review, the joint meeting with the CAC that will be in Ballroom B in Level 3, and we are in Level 2, so taking that into account, we have 10 minutes between the GAC session and the next session at our room that will be the ICANN update. Then we finish the day with the PTI session. On Wednesday, we have the session with the participation with the ALAC, that is the impact of natural disasters on CCTLDs. After coffee break, we have our policy session and accountability session split in two, part one before lunch, part two after lunch. Here is a change in the agenda. We swapped the CCTLD new session with the legal session. After coffee break, it's included also a consultation with the NOMCOM. And at the end of the day, we have the CCNSO Council meeting. And in the next page, you can find a summary of all the sessions that are outside the members' meeting agenda for your convenience, and also a small block schedule, too. Thank you. If you have any questions, please let me know.
Thank you very much for the excellent overview and all these summaries you provide. Any questions? Yes, Stephen, I agree. The mind map is impressive. That's why we really need that our priority. So any questions about this? If not, let's move forward. Thanks again, Alejandra. Thanks to all the meeting program working group. So we have topics for meeting with the ICANN board. They were submitted. Sorry, Barry, we did not submit your question. You didn't send us our your more details on the issues you would like to discuss with the board, but if it's something that we should keep in mind, and that perhaps we need to think about our strategy, how to discuss the issue that you raised, and I'm sure that it's a very good and interesting issue. And but yeah, we need some details to that. Then we also have meeting some topics for our bilateral meetings with GAC and GNSO, but there are still probably some changes to be there. Council updates. Anyone would like to provide any update? I spoke a lot. Any updates from others, vice chairs, councillors, regional organizations? Secretariat? No, a working group update, so I'll briefly update you on recent developments on the guidelines review committee. As you saw in your mailbox, we have the rejection action guideline. Well, finally, it's well, the GRC believed it's good to be sent to you. You have 1 week, and now slightly less than that. The plan is that next week we send it to the community, and in 2 weeks we run 2 webinars. We'll try to explain what is in the guidelines. I'd say it's easier to read than the Annex D of the ICANN bylaws. Nevertheless, it is a complex thing, and yeah, we'll need to explain. It's really not so easy to understand, but this is our right. We are one of the decisional participants, and we need to know how to exercise our rights. Okay. Also travel funding guideline, and yeah, we also start thinking about the CTNSO internal review and some other things that need to be done, and even also proposed session during a members meeting day when we start raising issues about the rules of the CCNSO and the need to change the rules. Okay, that's about the GRC. Qing is not with us, and I think that others also can provide those updates in written form, unless somebody wants to say something. So apparently, Yoke, I see Yoke. Yoke has her hand up. I believe it's secretariat update. Yes, Yoke, please.
Yes, sorry, Katrina. Just a short secretariat update that Margarita Valdez has informed secretariat that she wishes to step down from the CCNSO meeting strategy review team. The other members of the team have decided that it's not necessary at this point to look for a replacement, so there will not be a new call for volunteers. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. If we start talking about people who stepped down, I also have to mention that 2 people have stepped down from the GRC. One was Eduardo .co and Alejandro. I understand because Alejandro is very busy with the CCNSO members meeting dates and that commitment. The problem here is that we do not have anyone from Latin American region GRC. My understanding is that we do not have anyone from AP region either. So 2 regions are not represented on the GRC. Yoke, is that anything new hand or that's the same? Yeah, thank you. Okay, other updates hopefully will be provided in written form. Liaison updates as well. Our next meetings, as you can see, next meeting will be face-to-face in San Juan, and then we'll have a few meetings in April, May, June, and so on. Any question about meetings? Suggestions? Maybe we should meet every week? No? Okay. We have any other business. I have one issue for any other business, but maybe somebody else has. Alejandro, if you have an issue, please speak up. No need to type.
Thank you, Katrina. I was just wondering why the meeting on November 15th. It's at 11 UTC.
I think that's because it's going to be winter time in those countries where they move change their. Well, I think that is the reason. So it's the same time for others, but that's just my wild guess. And I think it's really the case. That's what we do. It's because of daylight saving time change, and in October the current clock back. Well, I don't know. At least unless European Commission decides that it's too harmful for human health to change. But there are still many other countries that do change. So that is the reason. That explain. Does it answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Yes, thank you. Okay, the other, any other business? No, then, perhaps I should raise that one. Like I expected Stephen to do it, so I won't need to do it. Stephen raised the one issue that he believes we should address, that the change that we need, some changes that we need to implement to the... I see Byron. Yeah, Byron, please.
Oh, thanks. If you want to finish, go ahead. I can wait.
Yeah, thank you. So it's, Stephen raised the issue that we need to change, implement some changes to the guideline that deals with board elections to reflect, improve the process that is in the guideline. He also proposed to have a committee to address these issues. Maybe Stephen would like to. Some more meat to that.
My proposal to Katrina is to have an informal task force just take a look at what worked, what could have worked better. We had that 11th hour kerfuffle regarding background checks and so on and so forth. And I thought if we had the election manager and the two candidates and a couple council members take a brief look at what worked, what would work better, is there a need to consider changes to the guidelines? I don't see this as being a giant formal committee by any means. I just thought it might be of use to us because it's so infrequent that we actually have a board election that's contested. That I think there may be some lessons that could be learned from this to tighten things up a little bit. That's all. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Stephen. First, we have this report provided by the nomination manager, and I think it serves as a very good starting point for the changes that are needed. Report is really very good and suggestions in that. I think at the time we thought that yes, those are very good suggestions. So this is definitely something that needs to be done. Not sure if that should be done by the council. Maybe we should forward it to the GRC so that they could work that into the document. The other thing is that I think that As we discussed, and we also have a proposal, several options for due diligence, background checks that were also presented to the council. This perhaps should be reviewed by the council, and then when we agree on the final version and we decide which way to go, then we can ask. Again, the GRC to provide them put them into the guidelines.
I've got a couple.
Yes, please, Nigel.
Well, after Byron, of course.
So it's not related to...
Yeah, my topic is different, so if we want to carry on with this, please do so. I can wait.
If it's, yeah.
Okay, Byron, thank you. I thought you were going to be talking to this subject. Okay, a couple of things where I kind of... I agree with Katrina, but I disagree with the, shall we say, the order and the thing. I think what Stephen's proposed, and he did bend my ear a little bit with it, is a very good idea. This is more by way of collecting additional input. The report from the election manager is the formal election report that's required to be done to make sure that the requirements of the election procedure were properly followed and so on. So the election report itself is an extremely useful piece of information. But I don't get from Stephen that that's what he's after, and he can correct me if I'm wrong here. I think that the two candidates, and I certainly hope that Pierre could be prevailed upon to at least do an interview similar to the ones that Yoka does at the end of the CCNSO members meeting, to get our perspective. I must admit that once the election result had been announced and it had been completed, I felt somewhat adrift and not being asked for feedback on how this works, and being the only one in, I think, 15 years who's been through this, and being somebody who has, shall we say, got a little bit of expertise and knowledge in the writing of guidelines and policies and procedures and so on. I would actually welcome the opportunity that Stephen's suggesting. So I don't think it excludes what Katrina's proposing, but I don't think the Guideline Review Committee is the right place to start. I think we need to gather some information. We need to gather the input from the two candidates. We need to gather the input from anybody else who is involved from the council who feels that they've got something to add. Take the discussion that's been held, the somewhat controversial parts of the due diligence discussion, which was somewhat forced on us from outside. Take that to the Guidelines Review Committee and then go forward with a completely new procedure. Because there are some things in the election procedure for both council and for board members which are causing us unnecessary delay and problems. I don't quite know how some of these procedures come from, but they are arcane and outdated and archaic in modern election practice. And I have some experience in a previous life of national elections. So just my thought. I fully support what Stephen's proposing here, but it's not in any way meant to take away, as far as I can see, from what Katrina's also proposing. It's in fact a precursor and an input to it. And any thoughts on that?
Yeah, thank you very much. Well, first, the report, if you read it, it provides very good suggestions for improvement, just exactly from the procedural point of view, how to make things easier and better and run better. So I would really disagree that this is just a report about how things went. So that's one thing. Another thing is that while we've had a lot of council elections when we have two candidates standing against each other, so this is we never interview both candidates. So I'm not saying we should not interview board candidates. I'm just saying that I cannot say it's the first time that we have. But I think that I get your ideas, and we'll think how to improve the process and how to discuss. Maybe in this case, discuss further, and I'd say that we always are very open to any comments, not only from candidates or councillors, but also from members. And I think that members also have a lot to add to the process. So, yeah, this is something that probably we should discuss during our workshop in San Juan, and yeah, we should think about how to structure this process. But, yeah, of course, gathering input and feedback is always a very valuable and good exercise. So, thanks for that. Let's move forward. Byron.
Hi, thanks. This is just to let people know that the Internet and Jurisdiction Project Conference is happening in Ottawa in 2 weeks, and there are about 250 policymakers from around the world gathered for this conference. For those who aren't familiar with it, it's both the organization and the program that Bertrand de la Chapelle is spearheading, and it's looking at a number of issues, most importantly to us, around domain. One of the threads is around domain names and trusted notifiers, and can there be some more global regime that would be helpful to all participants in the domain space with regards to notification of domains that are of questionable activity in one way, shape, or form or another, and trying to find is there any kind of framework or regime that might work for the broad diversity of TLDs that we have. So this is something that's been ongoing for several years. Their first conference was in Paris last year. Second one is in Ottawa in 2 weeks, and then there'll be a third and final in Berlin next year. So we're partway through the process. I just share it with you because it may be of interest to keep an eye on it for colleagues around the CCTLD world. And they do put out on a regular basis papers and updates in terms of where they are at. It's by no means a binding activity, but it is of interest to us given the topic. So I just wanted to share that with colleagues.
Thank you very much, Byron. Is it possible to participate remotely?
Let me check, because they do, it is a by invite only. Of course, the outputs, the papers, and the updates are publicly available. Let me just double check on the webcast, and I will get back to this to the council on that.
Thank you very much. Thanks for this interesting information. So, if there are no other things that you would like to share, then thank you very much for your participation. As you noted, we'll try to distribute. We'll have to decide online, which means that we will summarize all the decisions and distribute them to all councillors so that you can see and propose your either changes or vote against or anything. So, thanks a lot for being on the call. I hope that next time we will be great, and that will be face-to-face meeting in San Juan. Great to be with our friends from .pr and support them. And yeah, I think we have a very interesting packed agenda as always, many interesting meetings. So thanks a lot and see you all soon. Safe travels. Bye-bye.